Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. The title of my sermon this morning is For I Am Your God. And I just want us to close our eyes as we consider these words of God and we dedicate ourselves to this time in His presence. Father, we thank You for this moment we have to spend time with You. Thank You, God, that we can come to You not just as the only God, but our God. And that You have a desire to be with us, to speak to us, to lead us, and to give us life. And Lord, so I pray this morning as we are together that You will truly speak to each and every person that hears my voice, and that it will not be my words, but Your words that will remain. I pray, Father, that Your words will grow in us, that it will grow to maturity, bearing fruit and produce its purpose in us, which is to give us life and life more abundantly. We thank You for this, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the midst of uncertainty and fear, we often try to find hope. And my question this morning is, in the midst of uncertainty or fear, where do we find our hope? When we face trials and tribulation, it so easily creates uncertainty in us because we cannot see the future. We do not know how our circumstances will turn out, and therefore it creates uncertainty in us. And uncertainty so easily leads to fear or despair. You know, fear often leads to the fight or flight reaction in us. When we are afraid, we either fight or flight because our fear drives us to be self-focused, to be self, to preserve the self. So all of a sudden in fear, the focus does not become the other, but it becomes myself. And so too with despair. Despair is surrendering to our circumstances without any hope. And both fear and despair is extremely selfish at times. Fear, like I said, leads us to focus on ourselves, and so does despair in self-pity. And both with fear and despair, we tend not to be able to see beyond our circumstances or the threat that we face, and we believe that these circumstances and threat will lead to our demise, will lead to our end or to our harm. And so we are trapped within our circumstances because of the fear and the despair that we have in our hearts. You know what's so powerful about hope? Hope, on the other hand, allows us to see opportunities beyond our circumstances. It allows us to believe that everything will turn for our good and that there is a positive end after these circumstances. And so hope is very powerful. It not only allows us to see the opportunities, but it also leads to peace. It leads to peace in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our trials and tribulations. We can have peace because of hope. Hope is the assurance that all things will turn out for the good. And that is so powerful about hope. You know, what is so interesting about the Word of God, it declares to us that hope is also central to our faith. We read in Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things yet not seen." And I want us just to reflect on that for a moment. That faith is the assurance of things we hope for. The question I want us to think of is, what do we base our hope on? What are the things that we turn to find hope? You know, do we switch on the TV every evening and listen to the news to find some hope? Or do we turn to something greater to find hope? Where do we base, or where do we find, and on what do we base our hope on? You see, if our hope is based on something that is not constant, something that is unchanging, we can so easily have false hope. If we try to find our hope on the words of the president or that of a scientist, we might be disappointed. Or even if our hope is not based on something constant and unchanging, we'll have to grasp on different things in different circumstances. Because as circumstances change, we need to find something else that we base our hope on. If we're in financial crisis, maybe we have a wealthy family member on which we can place our hope. Or maybe if we have a health crisis, we can turn to the doctor that we know. Or maybe the medical aid that we have. Or maybe we're going through a law predicament and we know a lawyer. So we can turn to him and find some hope in him. But what if this wealthy family member is offended with us and no longer wants to help us financially? Or what if the doctor that we have hope in does not specialize in our illness? Or what if the friend that we have that is a lawyer, his expertise is in family law and not in criminal law? Then all of a sudden, I need to find my hope in someone else, or I need to hope that they know someone in which I can place my hope. And so if our hope is not in something unchanging, we constantly grasp at straws. And we have to constantly look elsewhere to find hope. You know, some of us don't even have these options. We don't even have a wealthy family member or a doctor that we know personally or a brother that's a lawyer. So where do we find our hope? Where do we base our hope on? And then we often find ourselves in the lack of all these options. We find ourselves in these moments of bewilderment where we look around frantically to find something to grasp on. Where do we find our hope? In the midst of the changing world we find ourselves in and different challenges and trials and tribulations, where do we find our hope? And on what do we base this hope? Every Sunday as a young child, I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, and the minister would always open his sermon with the same quote from the scripture. This scripture was Psalm 121, and he used to start his sermons like this: Ek lig my oë op na die berge, waar sal my hulp vandaan kom? My hulp kom van die Skepper van hemel en aarde. It says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It is a profound statement, and it had a profound impact on my life. I am so grateful for the church that I grew up in and what I learned about God's character and His word. But these words concerning where I find my help stayed with me all the days of my life. And I've experienced this reality where my reputation, my career, and even my life was threatened. And I had to ask myself this question: where does my help come from? I needed someone else to help me, because in those moments I did not have the power in myself to save me. And I was looking around when I was threatened in these areas of my life. Where will I find my help? And every time this scripture came to mind, and I placed my faith, my trust, and my hope in the same one David did, and he was faithful to deliver me every time. When David asked this question, he had an answer every time. Something constant, something unchanging, something all-powerful. That answer was God. He was not unsure or bewildered in looking for an answer when he faced these trials and tribulations. He always knew the answer to this question. He knew where his help would come from. In Isaiah 41, God speaks to us. He says, "For fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What powerful words of encouragement. Five things stand out for me in Isaiah 41. First of all, God says, do not be afraid. And then he gives the reason why. Secondly, he says, because I am with you. And then so powerfully, he says, do not be dismayed. And this always stood out for me because I didn't really understand. Until I went to the Hebrew and saw what this word means. In Hebrew, it literally means to gaze about, to look around in bewilderment. God says, don't be looking around in bewilderment where your help would come from. For I am your God. I am the one that will save you. I am the one that will strengthen you. I am the one that will help you. I am the one that will uphold you. So powerfully. Sometimes in this life, with all its challenges and demands, we run out of strength. We fail within ourselves emotionally and physically to continue. And it's so powerful that God says, but I will strengthen you. And you know, sometimes the challenges that we face in this life is just too big for us to handle it on ourselves. We need someone to help us. And God says, I will help you. And sometimes we are just plainly overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed by the circumstances and the realities around us. And God powerfully says, but I will uphold you. It's such a powerful statement that God makes. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Like this pen that cannot stand on its own unless my hand upholds it. So God says, I will uphold you. Even when the circumstances is too great for you, I am the one that will strengthen you and help you and uphold you. God is saying, don't be afraid or look around bewildered to your circumstances or where your help will come from. Look at me, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. But of course, this often doesn't mean that God is going to take away our circumstances. But God is saying that I will help you to overcome your circumstances. God never promised us that we will not face trials and tribulations. But God did promise us that He will never leave us. He will always be with us in our trial, and He will help us so that we will be able to go through these circumstances. And He also promised that He will turn it for our good. That's Romans 8 verse 28 that we know so well. And so Isaiah 41 continues in verse 13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. We will face this circumstance together, and I will help you to overcome this. You know, we do the same to our children. When they face challenges, whether it's their schoolwork or the life that they grow up in. You know, I have an amazing wife. My wife helps my children with their maths and their school. And so often, they struggle with the math problem. And the thing that my wife does, she doesn't tell my girls, don't worry about this problem. Let's just take this some away. Don't try to overcome it. No, my wife is amazing in that she sits down with them and says, you know what? You can do this. Let me help you to understand and to overcome this challenge. I'm so glad they don't ask me, because if they were to ask me of their math problems, they would probably fail. But so they always go to my wife, and she helps them to overcome their challenges. And that's the same way God looks at us. When we face our challenges, He says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you so that you can overcome this. Because that is what God desires of us. That we will be conquerors, overcomers. And we see it so powerfully throughout Scripture. Of course, we know Philippians 3 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the context is so powerful. And I want us to look at this context. Philippians 4 verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. How powerful is that? I can overcome every situation because God is with me. He strengthens me, He helps me, and He upholds me. Now, sometimes this help does not come in a way we expect, or maybe what is comfortable for us. I'm mindful, for instance, of the prophet Elijah when he was in need of help during a drought, running away from a threat, and he was in the desert and there was nothing to eat. And he was looking to God to help him, to sustain him, and God indeed did. But he did through a way that he didn't expect. He did through a way that wasn't comfortable. As a matter of fact, it was an offense to him. God sent him ravens. God sent ravens, an unclean bird, to bring him food. Not an eagle or a dove. No, God sent an unclean bird to bring him food that was probably not kosher either. And so Elijah had to humble himself and accept God's way of God's provision, of helping and strengthening and upholding him during this time. God did not remove the drought nor the threat, but sustained him. And so too, we must be open that God will help us in a way we maybe did not understand or did not know. Like we shared a couple of weeks, where God said to us, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Teaching the people of Israel in the desert that he sustained them through manna, which they did not know, nor their fathers. But that they may know that God is able to sustain them. Isaiah 41 says, fear not, for I am with you. Nor be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. These words gives me great hope. Because it's not just based on a philosophy. It's not based on a nice saying. It is based on the living God, his word and his character. But for this hope, you must have faith. Hebrews 11 says it so powerfully. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But you must not just have faith. You must have faith in God. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. David, when he asked this question, he lifted his eyes up to the mountains and he asked, where does my help come from? His answer was very clear and powerful. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. There's something powerful in which David said that it is not just God that helps me. God is the maker of heaven and earth. A profound statement of faith, but also the fact that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for him. As opposed to man's power or man's wisdom or man's ability, nothing is impossible for God. He is the maker of heaven and earth. In Mark 10 verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. The question this morning is, to whom or what do we look to find hope? Where do we put our faith in? In whom do we put our faith to find this hope? Is it in the stock market or our savings or our government or our circumstances? Because none of those things are constant. They will change. But there's one that will never change, that is unchanging and is all powerful. It is God. The one I look to never changes, for whom nothing is impossible, and even more, he loves me. And he has already proven his love to me. He's proven his love by sending his son to die for me. He's proven that nothing is impossible for him by raising his son from the dead, who is alive. So what shall we then say to these things? Well, Romans 8 puts it so powerfully from verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, and more than that, was raised, who is the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How is this possible that we can be more than conquerors whether we face tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? It is because God strengthens us, God helps us, and God upholds us. That is why. That is why we will always overcome our circumstances, because God is not just with us, he is for us. And so I want to encourage you today to put your faith and your trust in someone unchanging and all-powerful. To put your faith in God. Let us search and listen to his words more than we do to the news to find some hope. I pray that we will spend the same amount of time in his news, the good news, than the time we spend listening to the news of man to find some news that will give us some hope, but to spend time in his word that is unchanging and will give us a living hope. And if you are here today and you're listening to my sermon, I want to declare to you, God loves you. And maybe today, this is the moment that you will decide to surrender your life to him, to respond to this love that he has for you, and to put your faith in him. To give your life back to him and to love him back. Then these words will, I trust, be in your heart and mind as we read in Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I pray that this will become a reality for each and every person. Whether this is the first day that you choose to respond to his love for your life and to put your trust and hope in him, or whether you've been doing this for many years, I trust that we will renew our faith and hope in him, and that we'll find great encouragement and hope in him and his word and his character. And may God bless you as you do. If you're listening to us on our online platform, there will be an opportunity to respond to this altar call. If you have a need for prayer or you want to give your life to God, put your hope and trust in him, please click the link below. And we will love to minister with you. And so I want us to close our eyes and pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come to you unchanging, unpowerful, and put our hope in you. As we look around us and we ask, where will our help come from? We can boldly say, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who strengthens us, helps us, and upholds us, so that we can overcome every circumstances through you who strengthen us. And I pray that this will grow in our hearts, in our lives, and that it will be clearly seen to those around us, that you may receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you.